BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
First of all, let me just hone in on the outline of what SAP is reporting today. Many of you I had the privilege of meeting in October, and as we first intimated in October, our investigation confirms that payments were made to Gupta-related entities, that there were irregularities in the management of third parties and in the adherence to SAP's compliance processes. There is no evidence, however, of payments made to any ESCOM or Transnet employees or any government official in South Africa. Baker McKenzie's report details how, beginning in the mid of 2014, representatives of the Guptas began to associate themselves with multiple small parties that had experience in the South African IT industry. And many of these third parties already had existing relationships with SAP. The report found that at no point did any SAP employee have direct contact with Gupta or Zuma families. All contact was through an intermediary known as Santosh Shobe and the people who represented him. Shobe became the principal contact for Global Software Solutions, GSS, and CAD House. GSS became eligible to act as a sales commission agent in September 2014 and CAD House in August 2015. With GSS and CAD House acting as commissioned intermediaries, SAP South Africa concluded two contracts with Transnet and four with ESCOM between December 2014 and June 2017. One contract involved a commission of 10%. While the other five contracts involved a commission rate of 14.9, which is just below the 15% threshold that would have triggered an SAP Executive Board review of the transactions. I want to state very clearly that the investigation did not find any evidence that the integrity and the value of the software and services provided by SAP to either ESCOM or Transnet in these contracts was undermined in any way by the inclusion of these intermediaries. In addition, the investigation found that SAP, with the assistance of Gupta-related entities, unsuccessfully sought other contracts with Transnet and with ESCOM. Now, as far as remedial actions are concerned, the three executives who were put on administrative leave in July and formally suspended from SAP in October have now resigned from SAP following a disciplinary proceedings. These executives received no severance from SAP. A fourth employee returned to work in October. I would also just like to reiterate the changes that we announced and implemented in October of last year. We have eliminated sales commission on public sector deals in countries with a corruption perception index, according to the international group Transparency International, of below 50. Of the 180 countries that SAP operates in, this represents approximately 120 of those countries. We have built extensive additional controls and due diligence into our relationships with sales agents and VARs, including additional audit functions. And in SAP Africa, we have appointed an additional full-time legal compliance officers in the SAP Africa office. SAP has also strengthened the existing compliance committee in the SAP Africa region, consisting of local management, compliance, and other corporate functions, to promote compliance generally and to ensure individual deals, sanity, and integrity. I also want to make some comments on our cooperation with the authorities. As a private company, SAP is committed to uncovering and addressing any wrongdoing. We have been able to implement sweeping improvements to our internal compliance processes. However, there are limitations to what we can achieve in a complex investigation without having the investigative powers of government authorities. We're fully committed to continue cooperating with both local and international authorities that have comprehensive legal investigative powers across borders. We are continuing to cooperate with the US Department of Justice and the US Securities and Exchange Commission. In November, we notified the head of the Directorate for Priority Crime and Investigation, the Hawks, that we are willing to cooperate with them. We have also received notice from the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, the CIPC, that it has laid charges against SAP with the South African Police Service, and we are prepared to cooperate fully with any investigation they undertake. In conclusion, I would just like to say that SAP is humbled by what has happened over the past 9 months. SAP has been in South Africa for 26 years, and we hope that we will have the opportunity to continue to serve and function in South Africa for many more to come. We understand that many of our partners and our customers, and indeed the South African public, have been disappointed and let down by SAP. We've been truly humbled by this process, and the entire board stands behind me when I say that we want to regain the trust of South Africans. We recognize the investigation into state capture is a huge priority for South Africa right now, and as responsible corporate citizens, we're prepared to and would welcome working with the private and public sector to help improve governance in the country. We look forward to being part of the bright future for South Africa. So those are our opening comments. We will pass the floor over to you for questions. Rajiv will help be Master of Ceremonies at this point in time. I do have with me, as Rajiv has mentioned, Philip Carman, who's our head of investigations and was involved in many of the details associated with this activity. So please bear with us if, when you hear a question, there's a short pause in order to allow us to identify who's the appropriate person to answer your question. And let me pass it to Rajiv to open the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you so much, Adair. Guys, go ahead. We have about 35 more minutes. So 12:30 your time. So let's start with the questions. So, who wants to go first?
Hi, this is
Gareth and Phil from. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. I'll go second.
Okay, it's Gareth and Phil from BizNews. I'd just like to get some clarification on when you say that no payments were made to Eskom or Transnet staff. Are you saying that no payments were made from SAP staff? And what about from Gupta companies? Could Gupta companies have made any kind of payments to the Transnet or Eskom staff? Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. For you.
Gareth, hi. We have not identified any payments from SAP, and we cannot comment on things that are beyond our own knowledge and our own control. So, of course, we can't comment on any other payments made by any other third parties. So, SAP, we have not seen anything.
Okay, thanks.
Next question.
Hi, this is Gabriella from the Wall Street Journal.
Hi, Gabriella. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. So the numbers now are different, and the time frames are different from what you disclosed in October. Can you just quickly, because I don't have the documents from October in front of me, or point out which which are the payments that you're that you came across since then, which are new in this statement?
Okay, well, let's confirm what we have on payments, Gabrielle. Philip has that detail here.
It's a long list.
It's quite a long list. We could send it to you afterwards if you would prefer.
I just want to make
sure that I have this fact right, and I added up now 112.7 million between December 2014 and June 2017, and your disclosure in October, I think, was 94 million between December 2015 and sometime in 2016. So can you just confirm that those that I've added these up correctly? You've done those sums yourself. Yeah. Yeah.
First of all, of course, October and now is it, there has some investigation went on during that time frame. So things can change, numbers can change, because what we have right now, this is what we know today, and that is what we have uncovered in the investigation. So take the numbers from our report, take the numbers from the Baker report from today. These are the most accurate numbers that we have at this point in time.
Thank you. Right, and the 112.7, because as you say, it's quite a long list, and there are some payments that were promised and weren't made. So I just want to make sure that that's right.
It will be in that
right number.
You find all these details in the Baker report.
Yes, so 112.7 is the correct number.
You've done the addition that I don't think we have, actually. We've been dealing with them step by step. Okay.
Thanks so much, Gabriella. Next question, please.
Genevieve Quintel from Business Day.
Hi, Genevieve.
I just want to find out, can you tell us, was it ESCOM or Transnet who had instructed SNP to either use CADHouse or GSS? And would you be able to tell us, you know, who were SAP in contact with at ESCOM and Transnet? Who were the individuals involved in the finalization of these deals at those SOEs?
Okay, I'll take the first part of that question, and then perhaps Philip will take the second part. In terms of introductions, the intermediaries were not introduced to SAP by either ESCOM or Transnet. It would appear from the evidence that we have that they approached SAP in South Africa. Okay. Second part of the question?
You asked about the individuals involved. Is that right?
Yes, at ESCOM and Transnet, who were the officials who were finalizing these deals or who were in contact with SAP, and why haven't they been named?
We are not naming names in our press releases, as usual, so we will not comment on those names at this point in time.
Thank you.
Next question, please. Thanks.
Hi, Paul Bricker with Bloomberg News. Could you just go over the charges that you said CIPC? Who's laid charges with South African police, and what are those charges?
Okay, so just we received a notice from the Companies and Intellectual Property Commission that it laid charges against us with the South African police, and those charges are related to the alleged contravention of Section 2.14(1)(c) of the Companies Act of 2008 and Section 12(1)(b)(1)(a) of the Prevention and Combating of Corrupt Activities Act of 2004. And our response has been to advise the investigating officer that we're absolutely willing to cooperate with any investigation they might undertake.
Okay, and who are they? I mean, are those charges laid against individuals, or is it the company, or who? I mean, yeah.
It's against SAP South Africa. It's against SAP South Africa, the company.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi, sir. Ed Cropping here from Reuters. Can you just clarify something? The indications of misconduct in issues relating to the management of Gupta-related third parties, does that mean that the misconduct is inside SAP, or the misconduct is inside the Gupta-related third party? Because the language is ambiguous, but it's quite important.
Okay, give me 1 second.
Thanks. So in other words, what the misconduct or the indications of the misconduct, were they in-house to SAP or were they inside the Gupta-related entity and SAP sort of saw it and did nothing about it?
Okay.
Look, again, we can't say what has happened beyond SAP's corporate veil. So I cannot comment on anything at the Gupta-related entities or those third parties. This is knowledge
that confirms that the indications of misconduct were in-house to SAP.
That is what we say, yes.
Okay, thank you very much. No, I just wanted to clarify, thanks.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Thanks, Ed. Next question, please. Okay. Who wants to go next?
Hi, Gabrielle again from the Journal.
Hi.
Can you give us an update of where the, where things stand with the U.S. authorities? With the DOJ and the SEC, given that you reported yourself to them? I mean, yeah. is your expectation that you could still be sanctioned by these authorities, that you might be subject to fines?
Yeah. So Baker McKenzie are dealing with those authorities on our behalf, and Philip is our intermediary through to Baker McKenzie. So I will ask Philip to comment on that for you, Gabrielle.
Yeah. So, first of all, you have to understand that DOJ procedures are not very fast actions, which means that these things usually take not months, but years. In the process of such investigations, which has started now, we are in constant collaboration with them, which means that we have monthly update calls where we discuss these matters with the respective attorneys and the authorities that are dealing with the situation. Currently, the process is that they are starting also to ask for certain documents, which we have provided to them. And they also have indicated already that they would like to speak to several people involved. And we have informed those people of that request. And we expect that request to go through in Q2. But there seem to be some delays internally there in the authorities. So this could also drag on into Q3. But that is what's currently ongoing there. And since this is a complex procedure, an investigation here by the authorities, I expect this whole process to move quite slowly.
And so, but at this point, you don't feel like you should make provisions for potential fines or sort of,
heads
up to your shareholders?
No, that's far too early. We have discussed this matter internally, and we really do not see at this point in time any indication of any potential sanctions. We do not even know whether there will be any sanctions, and therefore we are not even sure about any amounts here. So we have, even in the most prudent and careful way how to account for these matters, we have decided not to account for these matters at this point in time. And we have also discussed this matter with KPMG, our external auditors, and they have also agreed that this, at this point in time, would be premature to put anything into our books.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Genevieve Quintal from Business Day again.
Genevieve.
Sorry, and I don't know if I just needed some clarification on how this works. So SAP is one of the largest software companies in the world. Why does it need a third party to help it secure deals at Transnet and ESCOM? And also, you said earlier that GSS and CAD House had approached SAP. So they must have gotten wind from somewhere that you needed an assistant or about these ESCOM Transnet deals. How did that all come about?
So look, let me address the first part of the question in terms of, a partner structure. So SAP has different models in terms of how we actually go to market. And there are absolutely times when we have a direct relationship with the customer that is managed by an SAP account executive. And there are times in various markets for a variety of different reasons where we have an indirect relationship and SAP's relationship is managed through a third party. And those third parties can come in various different forms.
And that's, you know, a pretty standard business framework in terms of, you know, in terms of software companies having both a direct and an indirect channel to their customers. It supports your coverage model, it supports your segmentation model, and so on as you structure your business. In terms of, you know, the requirements for either CADHAUS or GSS to add value here, you are correct that SAP had an existing relationship with both Transnet and ESCOM at this point in time. So that is obviously one of the question marks over the process that we had internally in terms of the acceptance of these partners into this process.
Thank you. Next question, please. Anyone for the next question?
Oh, sorry. Thank you very much. Kulegan Makubane from FIN24. I just wanted to get a sense of the notification that SAP sends to the Directorate for Priority Crime and Investigation, the HAWC. Whether that notification was preemptive of the potential action that could be taken by the HAWC, or if the HAWC got in touch with the company first on that, and if there's any anticipation of any concrete action or specific action, when last did SAP engage the HAWC about this? Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your question. So SAP's approach was proactive to the HAWC. It was not in response to any questioning from them. We did that, as you know, in November of last year. And to date, we have not had a response to our initial submission.
Okay, thank you. Next question, please.
Gareth Sansell from BizNews again. I'd just like to ask, just in light of the Indian authority starting to carry out raids on some of the properties there in India, and this becoming more of a global investigation and hope for them, is SAP concerned that it will be roped into that probe in any way?
Not at this point in time.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Next question, please. So, guys, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We appreciate your support. Thank you.